The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or a three-point. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
There it is. Big Shot Bob Pod, episode 57. Starts now. That's B-Dog Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners. And coming off the bench like an angry sports dad, a seven-time NBA champion, Robert Ory. Before we started taping the show, you were regaling us with tales of how you have taken over your son's high school basketball team, and they are fearful when you're not at the game because we don't know who's going to coach this team. It's certainly not the coach of said team.
No, the coach. I don't know if the coach is a really good coach, man. But you know, they look for a little bit of guidance from me, meaning the players.
Well, sure.
I have a good relationship with the players, man. You know, because they know I got their best interest at heart. So it's fun, though, man. That's why my voice is like this. And the game was a week ago, and I'm still, you know, I was yelling. I think I've never in my life yelled that much at refs in my life.
At the refs? Oh, you
at
are.
At the refs.
You are prototypical sports dad now, aren't you?
Oh, man. No. Everybody was yelling at the refs. They were that bad, man. When I say bad, they were beyond bad.
And well, they're high school basketball refs. It's not like you're going to get, you know, Tim Dunaghy point shaving out there or anything. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get pros. You're going to get, like, you know, college kids that are looking for a part-time job.
Is this this Sierra Canyon?
It's Sierra Canyon, yeah. Mm. We went up in their building to beat them, man. So, you know, for
good for you guys, man.
For regionals, and they played the championship game on the 25th. So I'm proud of those guys. They played hard. They've been working hard all year. And they, you know, think about it. It's because of the pandemic. They never knew if they was going to play, if they was going to practice. But, man, they stayed together. For them to beat Sierra Canyon in their building was, you know, huge.
Was it a who's who in the building?
Scotty was there because Scotty Pippen's son plays for Sierra Canyon. Kenyon Martin was there because his son played at Sierra Canyon. And then there was little old me rooting for Harvard Westlake. Everybody else in the building. Everybody else was rooting for Sierra Canyon, you know. But LeBron wasn't there.
He
was at All-Star.
Yeah,
LeBron James is athletic as hell, man. So big ups to all those guys, man. It was a good game. Yeah. It was a good game.
Yeah. Are you, like, friendly with Scotty? Like, when you see him at the games and stuff, you guys talk and stuff like that?
We talk. Okay. Yeah. I told him, I said, dude, I'm a little pissed at you. Like, why? I said, I wasn't on the damn list to get a Scottie Pippen book. Charles Oakley gave me a book, but you didn't.
So now you're harassing Scottie Pippen about the fact you didn't get a free book.
Exactly, man. You know me. I want me some free shit.
I was gonna ask if we could get him on the show, but now I don't think that's going to happen.
No, we've tried. I reach out to him.
If you see him or you have his information, I would love to talk to Scottie. I really would. Yeah, I'll tell him the story about how he snubbed me at Epcot that time, which I'm sure he would love to hear again. What's up, B-Dog? How are you, man?
He don't remember that at all.
Oh, hell no. Of course he didn't remember it 5 minutes after it happened. I promise you.
Right.
I promise you. Before we started, you asked me a question. How much of the All-Star game did you watch? And I watched a pretty fair amount of it. I mean, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I was in and out. I didn't watch all of it. I'm not really like a big all-star game person, and it's not just NBA, I think, in general. Like, I've never watched the Pro Bowl. I think I'll watch the Major League Baseball all-star game because I've got a little bit of an investment in baseball. We work for the Braves, but I'm just not like a big all-star game person. You know what I mean?
You know, I think this is the first year where I did not watch because it's when you have kids.
You didn't watch
sports,
any of it.
You know, we were at a practice, so I didn't get the chance to see anything. So, you know, it's not because I didn't want to; it's just because I was a little busy. I didn't get to see a Rising Stars game. I didn't see not one bit of it.
I saw some of it. The Rising Stars, I saw a little bit of it. I didn't really sit down and watch it like I usually do. I saw a little bit of the All Star game. Saw Steph go off. I think he had 50.
Yeah,
ended up winning MVP.
That thing from everywhere. I saw that part.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say it again, like I've said it many, many, many times before. Please get rid of dunk contests. Get rid of it. The highlight of
I heard
of the All-Star
nothing routine. About it. Not a thing.
It wasn't worth talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Obi Toppin for winning the dunk contest. You know, a talented dude. And all of those dudes who choose to participate are talented. They're NBA guys. But what more do you expect a lot of these guys to do? Change some stuff up, because everybody I've been hit up on Twitter talking about, well, it was good this year and this year. If you can pick out the years, that tells me everything I need to know. That means it's not consistently good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Well, I mean, the problem is, I think at the height of what the dunk contest was, you had the biggest names in the game participating. And that's what made
exactly.
it great. Like Jordan Dominique. I don't think there'll ever be a better one. I mean, now there's been some great ones in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, but watching Dominique and Michael Jordan go toe to toe in the slam dunk contest, that's unmatched for me.
Well, I will say Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon was pretty doggone good.
Yes, it was.
To me, I think that has to be my number one, just because they brought in the props and stuff. Back then, you couldn't bring in props, and it was just talent on talent.
Style.
The dunk that Aaron did when he literally sits down in the air, that's my all-time favorite dunk, man. I'm like, come on. He literally sits in the air. Like, I'm like, he's like a damn magician out there.
Yeah. I don't know if there's ever a more iconic photo, though, than Jordan from the free throw line, because you get
shot of
just Mike, but then you get the sideline of there's like 50 cameras on Dominique just all getting his reaction to that dunk.
Yeah. You're never going to top the star power of what Jordan and Nick had.
No,
that,
never.
You're never going to top that. But I do think LaVine and Aaron Gordon, what they did, the creativity,
it was
something else. But that's still 1 year.
Yeah. It did. I did see it kind of broke my heart a little bit when they did the photo, because they introduced all the top 75 right. players and all that stuff. And then when they did the Lakers photo with just everybody, and then they left the seat open in the middle for Kobe.
Yeah.
It was touching, and it was a very nice tribute, but it was like, damn it. Every time, man.
Yeah.
It just gets me every damn time.
Anytime they honor the greats in any way, shape, or form, even, you know, this year and even moving forward, there are always going to be moments where, I mean, not that you ever forget about Kobe, because I never forget about him, but there are always going to be moments where it's like, dang,
Kobe should have been there.
He's literally not here.
Yeah.
And that seat being open, he should be right there. He should be right here. Like, and the fact that he's not physically here is, I mean, that's always just going to be unbelievable to me.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, a lot of those guys are up in age, and you look at Kobe, I'm like, man, he wasn't even hitting 50 yet. You know,
he just hit 40.
Yeah,
it was like 41 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the heartbreaking part of it, because there's so many other things that you're going to miss out that he would have been doing for not just the basketball community, but for humanity and a lot of other things. You know, because great dude, man. I miss the dude. Yeah.
Now, there is a few things from the All-Star game that I do want to talk about. None of them really are related to the game itself, but there's a lot of little fun stories that
I got
came
one too.
From All-Star. Okay, go ahead. What you got? Go first.
Hey, and I text Ori about it. I text Big Shot about this the other day. Hey, Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah.
hey, bruh. Hey, I know your hands big and all, and you know you're the greatest of all time. But the way you held on to Mary J.
Hey, man.
I saw the video. The little pat on that lower back, close to the butt area.
You're being liberal with lower back.
Hey, Mike. Look, Mike. It ain't but 3 or 4 people on earth that could probably get away with what Michael Jordan did. Hey, he'd go.
Hey, you know, that's what happens when you have big hands, man. I think he would I think that was a mistake. He probably didn't pay any attention. Yeah.
She didn't either.
She didn't even blink. She didn't even blink. But then there's video of like her getting pictures with other people later in the night where she's like, hands. And Jordan is like, Jordan's wrapped around her. He's got a handful of it. And I'm like, good for you, Mike.
Hey, that's Mike Jordan, man.
Good for you,
Mike.
Jesus,
he can do what he wanted to do.
It's absolutely
but I think Mike was going off that tequila too.
Well, here's the thing.
He was on a little something.
Jordan was smiling the whole night. Like, from the minute they introduced him, every time you saw him, he had this huge, and I love Michael Jordan. I've never seen him that happy. Usually Mike's pretty even. You know, it's kind of hard to get a read on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Or he's just not there.
Hey, I think, you know, for the most part, a lot of people didn't think he was going to show up. And I think for him to show up, and you think about every, almost half those guys on that stage credited him to some degree.
Oh, if not more,
Their careers, yeah. And if he didn't show up, it'd have been, you know, a tragedy. It'd been a black eye for me on the whole 75.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know Tim wasn't going to show up. I knew he wasn't going to show up.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because he is not happy with some things that happened when I played with the NBA. And for me, I think, you know, I know it's a pandemic and all the stuff, but the NBA provided you with the lifestyle that you have. You have become these icons because of the NBA. And if they have one time to honor you out of, you know, what, 25 years, you should show up. And I think the fact that Tim didn't show up, which I knew he wasn't, was kind of hurt the mood.
Because yeah, not you that you mentioned
you,
it.
Yeah, you and David could have rolled the damn together. You both live in San Antonio. You could have took the private plane like half the players did. Mm-hmm. But for MJ to show up and see the smile on his face, I think him at the end of the day, he was like, shit, he got all my teammates from college. He got some teammates I played with. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good feeling, the camaraderie and everything like that, and just to hang out and see people. It was a great moment. So
yeah,
I'm happy that he showed up.
Yeah.
You know, another reason I think, you know, more people are seeing Jordan smile lately, and, you know, not to take it back to a more somber moment, but somebody made a point. I think when Kobe passed, I think that may have done something to Mike, and to be in the vicinity with all these other great players who he may not have seen in a while, he may not have talked to in a while, he may not have necessarily even cared for like that. To see those people and to realize that, hey, I can see y'all today and y'all may not be here tomorrow. So to be in this spot with you all, to dap you up, to laugh with you, to joke, which I don't know the last time he saw Dennis Rodman, you know, I don't know the last time he saw a lot of these people. So yeah, Mike could have been relishing. You said what?
Private Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah.
So he could have been relishing in the moment of let me be here because they're honoring us, and let me also honor everybody I possibly can. His interaction with Magic, his hug with LeBron, he should have had a hug with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he had a hug with Kobe.
It's just, for me, it threw me just to see him that happy, because it's just like you said, either he's not there or he's very stoic. And part of me went, well, here's a room full of guys with a lot of money who don't know how to gamble. So he's probably thrilled. He's like, deal me in. Let's go. And lift some money off Shaq. Come on now.
Or he could just say, hey, I got more money, I can bluff you out.
That's right. That's right.
Him challenging Magic to a basketball game. Talking about, go get your shoes, I'll play you right now. Knowing good well, Magic can't move like he used to.
Oh, no.
Mike can't either, but you can't tell him that. So that competitive spirit and fire that you saw from Mike, but the smile to go along with it. You know, I think some people feel as though, you know, since his little brother, a.k.a. Kobe Bryant, passed away, I think there's a little – Mike is showing a little bit of a lighter side. I could be wrong, but yeah, that's just kind of what I think.
So let's do before we get to that was the one that one of the ones that stood out was the Jordan stuff. The other one was the Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett drama, I want to call it, but I don't know if it really was drama. There's this video of during the introductions where Ray Allen comes up to the stands and he's kind of dapping everybody up and sort of doesn't really pay any mind to Kevin Garnett and sort of kind of walks by him. And Garnett didn't look like he was too happy in general anyway. He looked like he was kind of just trying to soak up the moment or something. I don't know. But there was all this, oh, they snubbed each other. Oh, they must not like each other. And I know there was like drama around the whole big three split and all that stuff, but there's also photos of them like an hour earlier.
They were together.
Like all hanging out and laughing and stuff. So I think that one might have been a little blown out of proportion.
Well, for me, I always say, you ain't got to like your teammates to win. You got to respect them, but you don't have to like them, break bread with them, hang out, but you do have to respect them. And for me, I pay that no attention, because I know how KG is. He does that just for the attention to try and make it like he's this tough guy. Yeah. So I just laughed at the whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so as well. But I mean, that story like blew up.
Yeah.
That was everywhere.
End of the day, Ray Allen got the last laugh because he got more rings than KG.
I'm going to say, he went to the Heat.
I'll say this. Looking at that video, it took the strength of God and to keep KG at bay, because the way he was just looking up, eyes closed, you saw his fist. I'm not saying it wasn't nothing going to go on at that event,
no,
but you could just tell, like, I don't like this dude, or some, you know, get this dude away from me. This is as close as I want this dude to me without me having to swing on him or say something to him. You could tell KG was not in a good place at that moment.
The funny part is, like, at the end of the day, like, dude, it's my life, my decision. I can go where the hell I want to go. If you don't like
that's it, a fact. Yeah.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, he went and played with LeBron and D Wade. Miami won himself a ring. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can't really look back and
made one of the most iconic shots in NBA history.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Showing up.
Yeah. Whatever beef there is, you know, like I said, going back to all this other stuff, eventually, at some point in time, as you get older and if you're able to live long enough, man, clear that stuff up. Man, y'all are being celebrated as the 75 greatest players of all time. Y'all are all on this list. Y'all are all Hall of Famers, and you all are all living. So while you're all living in here, squash that junk, man. That ain't even worth nothing.
Yeah. My audio of the week also came from the Celebrities game, which I think was Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins are calling the Celebrity game together. They got into this conversation during the broadcast of Richard says he has not played basketball. He has not picked up a basketball since he retired.
Yeah.
So the question got flipped to Kendrick, and this is what happened between them. Here's the audio.
Wait, so RJ say he hasn't played since he retired. When was the last time you played?
Probably 2 years before he retired.
Why?
KP, why? Why'd you do this to me?
That was violence.
Little,
I ain't gonna lie. Richard Jefferson is really good on TV, man. His quirks, his comebacks are good, man.
He's great on ESPN, man. He does a really good job.
And they're good together. Both of them are good together. They look at each other funny. Anytime Kendrick says something, Richard has a rebuttal and vice versa. It almost makes it seem like they don't like each other, but they really do.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. I'm going to say this, and this is not blasphemous whatsoever, and I'm saying on a very low scale.
No politics.
Kendrick or Richard. These are my disclaimers.
Okay.
On a very small scale, it reminds me of Chuck and Shaq.
Oh, my God.
On a very small scale, the way they go back for us. Now, it's not the same magnitude at all.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not career-wise. But anywho, on a very small scale, the way they go back and forth, it kind of reminds me of those two. They don't hate each other, but you got something to say. I'm going to say something.
Yeah, they know what it's about. They know it's about having a good time and just taking it on the chin and moving on.
When's the last time you played 2 years before you retired? That's great. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, the brave. And if you have a business and you're trying to break out of, you know, people holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. So introducing our good friends at Novo Business Checking.
Novo is powerfully simple business checking. And unlike the traditional banks, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized to your business to save you time and free up cash flow with seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more.
Yeah, now that's great too, by the way. No balances, no limits, no hidden fees. You got to love that. And just because you're taking your business somewhere no one's ever gone before, it doesn't mean you have to go alone. Get truly personalized business checking, like Rob said, with no fees, with our friends at Novo.
Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/bigshot. Plus, our listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts.
Ooh.
Go to novo.co/bigshot to sign up for free. novo.co/bigshot.
Novo Platform, Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, FA, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's move on to one of the bigger moments of the week. happen.
Sure, it's not the big.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It may be the biggest. Yeah, no, it may be the biggest. It's the biggest story of the week right now as far as basketball goes. This is what happened at the end of the Michigan-Wisconsin game the other night. Here's the audio.
Interesting finish here. 77. Oh, see, and they're going at it. Oh, yeah. Howard and Guard are not happy right now. As the two of them continue to have words, we told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo! And Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh, my God.
So at the beginning of the clip, you hear the music playing because CBS... Uh-huh. is done. Like, game's over. We're going to go cut away to the Big Bang Theory or whatever the shit is on next. And here comes Juwan Howard swinging. And they immediately, like, nope. They're like, kill the music. Get back to the broadcast. Let's get this on TV. I was very surprised to see that. And the only reason I say that is I don't know Juwan Howard that well, but as a coach, at no point do you take a swing at another coach? There is nothing on the table for me that you can go, well, he said this and he was pissed about the timeout and all this other stuff. Fine. You're setting an example for your kids. You never, ever, ever take up hands against another coach. That threw me.
Well, he was just mad that he didn't have a mask on during COVID. So
is that where we are now? Is this what it is? It's going to be the mask fight?
It's the mask fight. You know, the crazy part is about it. It's like when he bring the finger out and start pointing the finger, and then he's just, you know, I think what pissed him off is when he grabbed him. And you know,
yeah,
you never let a man grab you when you talk. Like, I said, Juwan was mad for pointing the finger, but then the coach grabbed him. And then the problem was when the big coach ran over there, oh, you want some of this? He should have said no, but he didn't say no. Yeah. Right. And that's the problem happened, man.
Yeah,
and
instead it was gave him the DX to... The shop, which, by the way, got completely overrun in this whole thing, and that was excellent execution.
Yeah. it was
timing on point, like excellent work, my friend. You know, excellent.
But my whole thing is because of that, now it could have, you know, now your players start fighting.
Right.
And one of his players, they only show a little bit of boy. He throwing them hands, boy. He like, brrr. But I always feel bad because the stands are right there, and then it can spill over into the stands and stuff like that. So, you know, you hate that happens to Juwan, because you meet Juwan, nice guy, really cool guy, you know, coaching at his alma mater, and then this happens. And, you know, I think it boils down to frustration. Think about how good they were last year. This year they stuck. They're not going to probably make the NCAA. Now he's suspended for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So it's a black eye on that program now, you know. Now parents can be like, I don't know if I want to send my child there because, you know, he can't keep his cool. And then you might say, oh, I'm going to send my child there because he fights for his player. Yeah. You know, which way are you going to go with this?
Yeah, I definitely think it's not a good look. And, you know, I get it. You know, in the heat of the moment when you don't like a coach making a call or you see a call that a coach makes is disrespectful, you know, obviously I think the coach is trying to go there. Well, what he said was the coach is trying to explain to him why he did what he did. And obviously Juwan wasn't trying to hear it. And I guess he was saying, you know, all right, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to get you back. And anytime, you know, it starts to get physical like that and emotions start to flare I mean, this is not a justification at all for it because it's wrong. But, you know, you start putting your hands on folks and, you know, putting your finger in folks' faces, you know, a lot of people don't take too kindly to that. And so, you know, once one thing led to another, and you got, and like you said, you got the, he didn't, Juwan didn't throw a punch. I see a lot of people in the media say it's an open slap. There's a difference between a slap
and a karate
and
chop.
A punch. I need a lot of media members to get the narrative correct. Oh, he threw a punch. You don't know the difference between a slap and a punch. If you don't, let somebody slap you and let somebody punch you.
But that's nitpicky, man. That's a little nitpicky for me. You threw hands, whether it was an open handed slap or a punch. You still threw hands at another coach.
You're right, but I'm a man of facts.
I would rather you to punch me than slap me, because slapping me, and you make me feel like a little bitch. Yeah. Like, now you just punch me and feel like a man. Yeah. Did he just pimp slap me?
Nah, it wasn't regular slap. Now, that's a big old hand.
Yeah, but what I got to say about this, you know, I've never been a fan of, you know, when the game's over, you do this, you walk off the court. I know everybody's like, oh, it's, you know, you have to go by and, you know, shake hands. I'm not a fan of that. I like, even now when the NBA players, they spend 10 minutes on the court talking to each other, shaking his head. No, dude, we ain't friends, man. I'm trying to kick your ass. I got to punch you in the face. I'm punching you in the face. So I don't understand all this coming together and talking and everything. So it reminds me of college, and it could have saved me in college. You know, we were playing Vanderbilt, and the little guard from Vanderbilt, I don't remember his name, he got me good with an elbow. And that little motherfucker avoided me the whole game. Because everybody know, if you fuck with me, I'm going to get your ass back. And I went the whole game, I couldn't get him back. But you know, at the end of the game, the benches have to cross. And I had the ball in my hand. And when we crossed, I took the ball and shoved it in his stomach as hard as I can. I said, hey, you take this home, little motherfucker. And we all squared up. And like, we was getting ready to fight. And so We didn't come to blows, because they kind of separate us. So at the end of the game, the Vanderbilt coach comes over to the locker room and is yelling at Wimp. And Wimp comes in and yell at me. And I says, first of all, let me tell you something. If you're going to let this motherfucker come in our locker room and talk shit to us, I got a problem with you. We should be whooping his ass right now, because he's in our locker room. And needless to say, I got suspended for the next day, because it was like, your attitude is detrimental to the team. I said, fuck it, I'm out. I said, I can go pro if I want to. It's my junior year, so I'm out. And that's why I don't like when the benches cross, because shit happens in the game. And I know for a fact, if you got certain players that are trying to get that get back, oh, they're going to find a way to get that get back, because that was a second time playing Vanderbilt. We weren't going to see him again unless we played him in the SEC tournament. So I had to get my revenge at that moment.
Yeah, there got to be a way where, you know, they do it all in the name of sportsmanship. And,
yeah,
you know, this is that and the third, which is cool.
Hey, ain't never with this.
You know, right. And they do it, you know, like I said, they do it in, you know, in the NBA. I do think if tempers have flared in a game to where it could have spilled over, I think it's a judgment call. Like, you got to make sure that you don't have issues flare up at the end. Oh, so if you've had a lot of tension in the game, then maybe at the end of the game you don't have those teams cross paths and dap it up, because that's a perfect moment for you to be that close for somebody to take a swing at somebody, and now you got an all-out brawl at the end. So if you know you've had tension in the game, and to prevent anything from possibly happening, hey, we're not even finna do this. We'll just throw the deuces and we'll keep it pushing.
Speaking of that, I can't recall the name of the two teams, but did you see in the girls' game where the girl body slammed the other girl?
Oh, I saw that clip. Yeah. No, I did see that. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. And that could have turned out really bad. And it's weird, because when the girl body slammed the girl, she's standing like, what? I didn't do anything. And a teammate comes and pushes her, and everybody's like, but they diffused that so fast. Yeah. I don't know if it's because it was females or whatnot, but it diffused it so fast. So the coaches ran out there, and this is what I like best. The coaches ran out there and grabbed their players. I hate when coaches go out there and grab someone from another team.
That's usually what starts that stuff.
Yes, yeah, because now you're grabbing someone else from the other team. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your intentions are.
Yeah.
You could be holding me up with the other dude, put hands on me.
And I'm only responsible for my guys. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get my guy off. I'm not worried about your guy. You go handle your guy. I'm going
to
get my guy.
That's what they have to do also. They have to say, if you grab another player, you're going to get fined. You grab only your players. You don't grab anybody from other teams. So that's another problem for me.
Was that the only time you were suspended in college?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many times did you ever get an NBA suspension?
I got about three of those.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess did they punish you in the Maxwell thing?
No, they didn't punish me. They punished Maxwell.
Yeah, I know. Vernon got punished.
I was trying to
defuse
the situation. Yeah, okay. So
I didn't know if they gave you a game for going up there or something.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I got thrown out of game. I got suspended for fighting with Jerry Stackhouse.
Okay.
I got suspended for a game for the Steve Nash bump. That was two games, which was messed up.
Okay.
You had a pretty clean career. Only three times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was good, man. I was a good guy. I ain't starting no trouble, man. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. He said to Danny.
But don't cross me.
Yeah.
I put my hands on you if I have to.
All right, Tupac.
Little dirty South guy.
All right.
Yeah, trust me. We know. All right. We are going to, by the way, coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to play a quick round of Black Crime or White Crime.
Uh-oh.
We're wrapping up Black History Month, so we gotta at least work it in one more time.
what other way to wrap it up?
No better way, honestly. This story kind of threw me, and I there's a question attached to it, but apparently Kanye West.
Oh, Lord, yeah, I know.
Is trying to buy the Denver Broncos, which I couldn't really draw the correlation as to where Kanye West goes, yep, I got to get me some of that Denver Broncos. Like, that threw me. Of all the teams you want to try and buy, I guess they're out there as a possibility. But he's trying to put together an ownership group, as it's reported, to make a bid on the Broncos. So Kanye West, NFL owner.
I hate to say this, but Kanye West ain't got a chance in hell. Them good old boys are not going to let this crazy MF in their association. They're not, man. You know, they're going to need a black owner one day, but it damn sure ain't going to be Kanye West.
No.
Because they like, even though they might say, you know what? He brings a lot of attention, but does he bring the right attention? He got a lot of money. And he has potential to make even more money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that mofo crazy. Nah, we ain't letting him in.
And here's the other part, too, is if you take a step back and you go, well, who else is involved in this ownership group? And the first name you see is Antonio Brown. Oh, you're Brown. Like, all right, no.
Now, the other person that was looking to buy the Broncos is the TV mogul, Byron Allen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was worry that he was – I wouldn't think that anybody would have any opposition to that. Byron Allen has had a heck of a career, very, very successful. And obviously, I don't know who would be a part of his team. But look, Kanye, we all know Kanye, even recently, we know that all the crayons ain't in the box and all the pencils ain't sharpened when it comes to Kanye. But we all do know, and I'm not saying I don't think he'll end up buying him. I don't think he'll end up being in that near boys club, basically what the NFL owners are. But money talks. And if you can get, you got enough money and you can get a team together and you can put your bid in and your bid is what they choose, they don't care how cuckoo you are, because whether it's cuckoo money or same money, the there's no difference. Both money green, and it's a lot of it.
Yeah, both money's green, but at the end of the day, the board has to vote on it.
You're right. They do. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
You know, because they're going to get their cut from the sale of the team. And like, but they still going to be like, nah. Because you got to think about this. Those dudes aren't rich. They're wealthy. Most of them got go fuck you money. And so when you got go fuck you money, you can tell.
No, all of them have that.
Yes, they are. No NFL owner is partly wealthy. Yeah, no. Yeah, they've all got burn my house down and see if I care money. You know, it doesn't even bother them. The Broncos, for what it's worth, are valued, according to Forbes, at $3.75 billion.
Yeah.
So you got to drum up a lot of money.
Even Mark Davis, who is the owner of the Vegas Raiders,
mm-hmm.
is only worth like $500 or $600 million. He is the poorest owner. He is the poorest owner.
That's why he's struggling with that haircut. He just can't afford a better haircut than the one he's got. Just put the bowl on and shave it, and you're good. Just go, man.
But he could turn around and probably sell that franchise for $4 billion.
Yeah. Every bit. Now that it's in Vegas? Oh, forget it.
It's not going for any less than $4
billion. No. And if you could own any team in any sport, what team do you want to own? Money's Yankees. Not an option. Who do you want to buy?
Yankees.
You want to buy the Yankees?
Yankees, yeah.
Why?
Because that.
I thought you were a Mets fan.
I am a Mets fan, but at the end of the day, like you said, it's about the almighty dollar. And unless I go get me a professional soccer team, that way, because, you know, Manchester, someone like that, is what I think is the richest sports franchise out there. Yeah. And so, you know, you have to go by that. I'm going by the numbers. It's either going to be the Yankees or the Cowboys or the Lakers. Those are my top three.
I think I'd buy the Lakers.
Well, you know, you're speaking from the heart.
Well, no, but I'm also speaking from the pocket, too. I get the benefit of both.
Mm. Yeah. I would buy the Cowboys and drive them straight into the ground.
hey,
I would
hold
buy
on,
the
Rob.
Cowboys and just train wreck the whole organization.
Well, guess what? I think Jerry beat me, too.
He's okay, already sort of done that, ain't he?
You trying to do your Ted Lasso. Oh, I'm a... Just to hire anybody and fucking run them into the ground.
It'd be like Major League. The Cleveland Indians just drive straight into the ground so we can move to Miami. That's all I'm looking to do. Kill the Cowboys.
Look out!
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. The Michael Irvin Podcast, the MIP.
Not a MIP exists. The MIP.
Okay, I got to make sure he got something to show.
What? Where's Michael? He's holding out. What do you mean he's holding out?
Hey, it's the playmaker. I ain't available right now. I said, the playmaker's not available for you.
I will give you my playmaker of the week. Take the spotlight sometimes off of all these quarterbacks and put the spotlight on some of those guys that make the quarterbacks.
T-I-R-E-D, put it together. T-I-R-E-D. I get tired.
Best
of
love.
That's the Michael Irvin I love right there.
What's
man.
That?
Yeah.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
That's the Michael Irvin Podcast. I am the playmaker, Michael Irvin.
All right, let's do the big shot of the week, and then we will play Black Crime or White Crime. This week's big shot is going to go to Sophie Anderson.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So, rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
A very thoughtful 10-year-old girl from Buffalo, New York. In December, she lost her grandfather, Terry, to pancreatic cancer, which is a very, very hard cancer. And after seeing her grandfather battle and being there for so many of his chemo sessions, she started to put together what she's calling chemo comfort bags, and she started this over the holidays. They're just little bags with the help of her family. Each bag has blankets, small pillows, games, word searches, socks, mittens, all this stuff. And she assembles these, collects all the goods for him, and builds these bags, takes them to the hospital, and delivers them to chemo patients who are, I mean, when you're on chemo, you are stuck in a chair, basically. And you're getting poison pumped into your body. So anything you can do to keep your mind occupied and keep your spirits up is extremely important. And the fact that this 10-year-old girl has the wherewithal to not even understand that, but to know I'm going to go out and sort of build a way for people to just kind of keep their minds occupied and keep their spirits up while they're going through chemo is completely wild to me. And she does it kind of in honor of her grandfather as a way of keeping her grandfather's legacy alive. And now, of course, because it's out there, she's got companies that are helping her and donating stuff to her bags. And she's hoping to do, I think, 20 this month at her hospital in Buffalo, New York, where she's going to go in and she's going to deliver these bags to people that are on chemo in honor of her grandfather, Terry. So God bless that little girl. That's a cool story.
Yeah, that's cool, because I know from being in the hospital, when my daughter was in the hospital, and being a part of the Ronald McDonald House sometimes the smallest thing means so much to people. It can put a smile on your face. And you know, my stepmom just went through her second round of chemo, and she was feeling awful. And just, you know, sent her a text of my grandson, made her smile and things like that. And it's weird because these people, they go through so much. Like you said, the poison in their body can make them feel awful. But it's that one little spark to brighten the day and make them feel so good. So that's a really big ups to Sophie for providing that spark for a lot of people who are going through this chemo.
Yeah, good for
her. Yeah, I got to say, man, I love the heart of children.
Oh, my
God. And I love the heart that children have and the innocence that they have. They don't have to know every detail. They don't have to understand every underlining thing. They see someone in pain. They see someone that needs help, and they have these ideas, even if it's the smallest, simplest gesture, to want to do things on this type of scale. As a 10-year-old, you have a lot of adults who complicate a lot of things, and they wouldn't even be able to put something like this together. So to have a 10-year-old child that has the heart of gold like this, you got to love the innocence and the heart of children. And I'm always going to say that.
Yeah. When my son was diagnosed with diabetes in 2008, he was 10. And he had to spend about 5 days in children's health care here in Atlanta. And the entire time I was there, I would go to visit his room. And you walk past like all these rooms full of people who basically live at the hospital. Like their kids are going through all kinds of stuff. And it's like these people just need just that, like you said, Rob, just that little touch of something. So anytime I could say hi to somebody, can I get you anything? Do you need something? Can I run and get you water? I'm going for my son anyway. Oh, my God, that would be amazing. Thank you. Just those little tiny gestures go so far with these people that are fighting stuff that, I mean, like you said, Rob, you've been through it. I mean, I can't. Yeah. It's hard to wrap your head around what people are dealing with sometimes when you go to these hospitals. It's not just in and out. I mean, there's people literally that I ran into at Children's Healthcare that have been there for 6 months. And they basically live at the hospital. I mean, that's just so hard. I mean,
Good story. Yeah,
we
started a teamed up. My first wife and I, we teamed up just to try to give them meals and a little care package that had soap and, you know, deodorant, a little freshen up pack. And that, I mean, because a lot of those people, they don't even leave the hospital because they're with their kids or their loved ones, and they just need a place to go in the bathroom, brush your teeth, wash up, get a little refresher, and keep it moving. So that's really important that Sophie's doing that, though.
Yeah, just a great story. So, if you ever have a nomination for Big Shot of the Week, we're at Big Shot Bob Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and BigShotBobPod@gmail.com. Feel free to send them over. Love to hear those good stories. All right, we've got we got some crimes. We'll do a quick round this week. We're not going too far down the rabbit hole, but
why not?
Black crime or white crime? We got five
stories. I love the transition, by the way. We go from the good-hearted children to criminals.
Just criminals. Just straight crime. Yeah. Hey, we're good like that.
Bad boys.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you?
You know what threw me about
skinner,
that?
Skinner.
Didn't they take cops off the air? Somebody brought it back, I think, on streaming or something. But, for the longest time, Cops was off the air. Hmm. I don't know. I liked that show just because it's so stupid.
Here's the thing is, it's funny because those criminals got to be some dumbasses because you have to give consent for them to show your face. And 9 times out of 10, they show their face. Uh-huh. I'm like, what are you doing?
By the way, while you're going to jail, just sign this real quick. I'm like, okay. Am I going to be on TV? Yes, you sure are. All right, story number one. Police in Delaware say a man who robbed a Wilmington bank didn't keep the cash for long. After fleeing the Wells Fargo branch, he paused outside to deposit the stolen cash into his ATM account at the machine out front. Officers responding to the scene ran the account and found him in a nearby shopping center and took him into custody. Without incident. So did the man that robbed the bank and then deposited the money into his account at the ATM outside. Black guy or white guy?
First of all, that sounds like some dude on meth. And he's like, fuck it. I'm on meth. I'm going to do this shit. So I'm going to go with white guy.
I don't know how you extrapolated meth out of that story, but rock and roll.
I don't know.
Harper, black guy. That sounds like something a meth head would do. Okay.
You said he then deposited the money into his bank account.
Yes.
Ah, man.
Dude, it's Delaware. Ain't no black folks in Delaware.
Yes, there are.
There's a few.
I grew up in New Jersey. There's at least a couple. I mean,
there's a few.
They spill over from the New York area.
And even though it ain't a lot of us up there, I'm gonna lean black guy.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna be honest. The name here is gonna give it away. 44-year-old Mick Roberts Williams.
Oh no, he white.
That's a white guy. That's a 44-year-old white guy right there. Sorry.
He is the miracle whip of white.
Mick Roberts is his first name. Mick
his
Roberts.
Name can't be Mick Roberts.
His
Hell
name
no.
is Mick Roberts Williams.
That man got a last name for a first name.
I know. Ridiculous.
Mick Levin.
Oh man, my name was almost Mick Roberts. They just went with Robert though. Son of a bitch. All right, story number two. 1-0 Robert Horry. A real woman tried to hire a hitman on a fake website called rentahitman.com. She filled out a form asking to help kill her ex-husband. Unfortunately, the site's not owned by a hitman. It's owned by a computer professional who sends the requests that come in over to the cops. Well, they set her up. She gave a detective her ex's address, told them when and where he works, and put down a $200 down payment on a $5,000 tab for murder. She's been arrested and could serve up to 9 years in prison. So did the woman that went to rentahitman.com. So discreet. Black lady or white lady?
That's a black lady.
Hey. So sure, too. I mean, just so sure.
Hey, I watched Snap, and I think if it was a black lady, she'd have said, come on over for some dinner. And said he struck me and stabbed herself. So I'm going to go with a white woman on this one.
You think there's more play here? Okay.
Yeah, it's a white woman.
Once again, the name's going to give this one away. 52-year-old Wendy Lynn Wine.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, she's a white lady. Yeah, she's a white lady. Very, very good old Robert Horry.
You know, hey, you got to do some detective work here. You're right. I'm going to have my own business, man.
First two, I've been off my game.
B-Dog, let me give you a throwback. Listen to the clues, John.
Yeah. All right. That's the person that had the answers.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Story number three. Here we go. Police in Great Britain said they received, quote, a suspicious call related to a burglary that actually came from the unsuspecting burglars themselves. The police say two men were arrested after they butt dialed 999, which is the emergency number in the UK. And the police just listened in as they tried to rob this bank. So did the two guys that accidentally butt dialed in on their own crime, black guys or white guys?
I want to say They're black, but and then this is Britain.
Oh no, Idris Elba. There are black people in Great Britain.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm going with Caucasian again.
You want to say white
people? Okay, that's some white people shit right there.
I'm
because black folks know not to take their phone to the crime scene now because they know they can.
Oh, do they? We've had stories in this game where they try to fake a lottery ticket and hand it to the guy. Come on. What do you think, Harper?
I have a hard time thinking it's going to be three white folks in a row. it's just to add a speck of pepper and then missed all the salt. Let me say, I'm going to say black guy.
First of all, it's Black History Month. If he going to put some black folks doing crime, he's wrong for that shit. Look, every person should be fucking white.
Hey, he probably gave it away.
Why are you ruining this week's game?
Hey, you know what? He probably has just given away the secret of this whole game.
All right, I'm going to stop both of you, and I'm going to let you know those were black guys. those were black guys. So Harper's going to get that point. He's going to get that point.
You ain't going to have three white crimes in a row.
Hey, see, I was going with the fact that it's Black History Month.
I know where you were going. I figured as much. All right, story number four.
Typical white guy.
Oh, but you see, always trying to figure things out, man, act all shifty. A woman who wanted to spend more time with her boyfriend, came up with an incredibly stupid plan to get him off of work. She called in two bomb threats. She's been charged with a felony count of terrorizing, if you could believe that or not. But yeah, she called this guy's work, called in a couple of bomb threats to get him out of work, so she could spend more time together. Is this a black woman or a white woman?
White.
Hey, first of all, the black woman's going, you got to stay there overtime because we did that cash
flow. So we need money.
I'm going to go with a white lady.
You going to work.
Like, you know, because that's privilege right there. Oh, they ain't going to fire you, baby. Come on home. You know, that's some white folk shit right there.
That's white.
Yeah, you're both right. Yeah, that's some white people shit. That's some white people shit.
A bomb threat?
Yeah.
Really?
So we know a guy.
Hey. First of all, black woman just says, just go in there and tell them there's something wrong with your baby. Is you got to come home right away.
So what is your go-to? Well, you don't have, did you have to ever drum up an excuse to get out of work? You never did. You never had a real job. Robert Ory?
What you trying
to say, dog? I mean, like the NBA, it's you're going to work to play basketball. That doesn't, you know, I mean, it's work, but it's not like, you know, you had to call in sick or something.
You know what? I've never had an excuse because, you know, it's like you said, I've never really had a 9-to-5. I would put it like that.
Yeah.
Right. I was a workhorse, so I never really missed work. I did miss work one time. I woke up with for some reason, I couldn't move my neck. And that's the only time I ever missed like a practice, but not being hurt. I couldn't even get out of bed. My neck was so hurting so bad.
B-Dog, you ever have to drum up a bad excuse to call out of work here? Except
no,
for I'm just going to do the podcast from my house. And I don't give a shit about you. Oh, okay.
I don't like the guy I room with, so I'm going to stay away.
Thank
my cubicle.
No, that's not it. I usually just straight up.
I'm not coming to work today. Why? I don't feel like it.
I know what his excuse is. I got car trouble.
Car trouble? You know what Shannon always
right
Shannon
there.
Just says, just tell him you got stomach problems. No one wants to talk about poop. It's like, all
right,
good point.
But the funny thing about it is,
bothering me. I'm going to stay home.
The car, I wish it was just an excuse. It'd be real life.
Oh, yeah, no, you always got damn out of car trouble. That's
so basically what you say.
That's a black crime. You always got car trouble.
So basically, Rob, you say you tell your boss, I got the Hershey squirts. I ain't coming in.
Yep, that is my wife's go-to. She goes, just tell him you got the poops. No one's going to question it. I'm like, all right, I got the runs. All right, stay home. All right.
Diarrhea is a symptom of COVID.
There it is. Close enough. All right. Last story here. A white woman. I'm sorry, not a white woman. A woman who arrived late for her JetBlue flight in Fort Lauderdale. I was reading the previous story. Arrived late for her JetBlue flight at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport and was told she was too late to board, but they'd already checked her luggage. They were going to have to get her on a later plane. So what did she do? She said, well, the luggage you checked has a bomb in it, to try and stop the plane from taking off. And, well, yeah, you can't do that at the airport. She was arrested and ready. She's got counts of false reporting concerning planting a bomb, explosive, or weapon of mass destruction, which carries a maximum sentence of up to 15 years.
I got a hard time thinking that's a black woman.
So did the woman who screamed bomb in my bag, white lady or black lady?
First of all, if it was a black lady, they weren't going to let her check that bag because she was already late. So she was going to get her bag on the plane. So it had to be a white lady because I'm going to go with that. That's two bombs.
So this is
so
a
far.
White privilege story is what you're saying. Okay, I got
yes,
you. Yes, okay, gotcha.
But I think white lady too, because this, look, if it was a black woman, the last thing she would possibly do and say is have a bomb. She gonna sit there and argue and fight with you at the least, and holler and scream and make a scene.
You
but
better
she ain't
go back
sit up
and get my motherfucking bag before we have a motherfucking problem.
Right. It's gonna be more of that than it is. Oh, I got a bomb. So I say, white lady.
Okay.
And you know, and the funny part, hold on, it's JetBlue, and it's going from Fort Lauderdale. So yeah, it's a white lady.
Hold on now, that's.
JetBlue's pretty damn cheap. It's not necessarily a high class.
Hey, what you trying
airline.
To say, man?
I'm just saying it's a cheap old airline. I'm not saying it's like some snooty high class airline. I mean, it's just saying.
It's a step above Spirit.
Barely. That's a Marina Verbitsky. That's a white woman. Usually when it's bomb, it's a white lady.
I know.
Seems it, right?
So what is it? Is it 4-3?
Well, that was our last question. So, yeah, it's going to be a 4-3 win for Robert Ori. Yeah, there you go. Very good. Black crime or white crime. And 4 of the 5 were white folks this time. In honor of Black History Month? Question? I don't know.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
This February on Pluto TV, we're putting the spotlight on iconic Black talent. Watch your favorite movies like Top 5, 48 Hours, and More Than a Game. And drop in to binge Black TV classics like The Bernie Mac Show and Moesha. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels and thousands more movies and TV shows all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.